disagree. Cause when the madman flicks a switch, the nuclear will go for me. See the point, cause there's so much food here today that no one wants to take away.
Welcome to episode number 159 of the Sane Asylum. It is 23 July 23, almost a complete back and forth, but not quite. And I'm your host, Giuseppe, and what an honor it is to have my friend, your friend, John Friend, the brilliant muckraker, investigative journalist, and revisionist historian. His own website, therealistreport.com, is fantastic, as well as all the work he does for America Free Press and the Barnes Review. John, welcome. And hey, what's going on at America Free Press and the Barnes Review these days?
Giuseppe, what's up, buddy? It's always good to talk to you. Thank you so much for having me back on. Well, you know, same old, trucking away, I guess. We just published issue, I think it was 29 and 30 of American Free Press. That just went to the printer on Friday, and that'll be mailed out to everybody starting on Monday. By the way, am I getting any sort of feedback or background interference?
You sound good to me.
I sound great. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure. We sent another issue off to the printer. I had a couple pieces published in that issue. I don't know if you caught it, but I interviewed a lady named Barbara Jansen.
That was great. Yeah.
I actually I tune into the Hoax Busters, which I know is broadcast on Speak Free Radio. Yeah, at least some of their shows. I'm not sure if all of them are.
Right.
But I listen to them. Jim Rizzoli, Joe Rizzoli. I'm big fans of their work. Of course, Diane King and Diana Ploss. Barbara Jansen had called into their program, and I kind of caught wind of it when I was listening to the show, and I was like, oh wow. This would be an interesting person to talk to and, you know, sort of do some investigating and see what really went down. And yeah, this woman, I mean, I'm not sure actually how old she is, but I know she's retired. She was a former business owner and she retired, moved to Rhode Island. It sounds like she grew up didn't grow up. I think she said she was actually born in Poland, mm-hmm. but she lived in Massachusetts for most of her life. And here's like an average, you know, your typical, you know, senior citizen, retiree, you know, total like MAGA Trump supporter, or at least she was back then. I think she's, you know, a little bit more skeptical of Trump these days, but back mm-hmm. then, you know, she's a big Trump supporter. Attended the rally in our nation's capital on January 6th, 2021, which literally hundreds of thousands, if not maybe even over a million people did. Didn't even step foot in the Capitol, committed no crime. Literally just showed up in our nation's capital, and she has the FBI harassing her and going to her house, asking her questions about, you know, who she went with, what did they do, what was said on the trip, did she notice anything suspicious? I mean, this is just outrageous. What a total tyranny America has morphed into.
Yes,
to where you are literally – you got the FBI knocking on your door – as, you know, somebody who's contributed and, you know, ran a successful business her whole career, basically, it sounds like, anyways, from what I know of her. You know, she sounds like a very honest, respectable, you know, typical American, you know, patriotic, hardworking, wants what's best for the country, stands up for what she believes in, is not afraid to exercise her First Amendment right. And here's the FBI knocking on her door. Meanwhile, we have literally you know, like our, you go to any major city, it's, you know, crime is out of control. These radical left-wing terrorists are just, you know, running amok, or at least they have been, you know, for the past 4 or 5 years at least. You know, it's just totally outrageous. Like the whole concept of anarcho-tyranny is just so vividly on display these days. And I just found this to be outrageous. When I first heard her sort of explain what happened on the Hoax Busters, I immediately wanted to talk to her and, you know, write about this and give it some more awareness. And I mean, she's one of, you know, what, probably thousands of people that this has happened to since the whole January 6th, quote unquote, insurrection, which we know is a total hoax, basically. I mean, it was nothing right of the sort. And Barbara herself basically said as much. I mean, she was very skeptical of the mainstream media coverage of the quote unquote January 6th insurrection. And of course, that's been a big talking point for the left, for the Democrats, for the Biden administration. And it's been used to justify this, I mean, frankly, like overt war on white America. I mean, about, yes, you know, a war on any conservative, mainstream Republican Trump supporter. I mean, let alone, you know, your quote-unquote white nationalist, anti-Semitic conspiracy theorists like us. I mean, we've been in their crosshair for, you know, a very long time now. But right, even your just average, you know, pro-America, America first retiree is being targeted by the FBI. It's outrageous.
Well, John, I put as a satisfied subscriber to both the American Free Press and the Barnes Review, I get access to the PDFs as soon as they go up. And issue 29, there's your story right now on the screen for the video people on Odyssey and Twitter and Rumble. And it's astounding that you can just see the look in her eyes. She's a decent woman, loves the country that she came to, grew up in, had a successful business, you know, a small business owner. And John, this is literally the synagogue of Satan, as we all know and have covered for years, if not decades, is responsible for this, the Jew cancer rot that has metastasized to level 4, stage 4, so much so that, I mean, it's a joke to say Uncle Sam anymore. We might as well say Uncle Shlomo. The level of control from these parasites is unprecedented. I mean, you just, you know, next month, exactly 1 month from today, I'm going to turn 64. And when I was 24, you know, we all knew what the Jew was about, but the Jew was skulking in the shadows, didn't wield any real overt power, right? 40 years later, they control this country so disgustingly that they can launch an illegal and immoral war against Russia, with the proxy being Ukraine, because they're still trying to prosecute their blood libel from a century and a half ago when the Tsar and the aristocracy of the day blocked their Jew world order at that time in the one world banking system. So it's unbelievable. And the biggest tragedy in my mind, John, is that for every Barbara Jensen who gets it, there's 100 American goofs who actually think that the perfidious Jew is the chosen race. And it's not true at all.
No, it's absolutely not. And yeah, that's definitely something that we could talk more about, this whole Christian identity perspective of the Bible, which I listened to that interview you did with Eli James. That was, I'm not sure exactly when that was. It was one of your more recent shows, though.
Just 2 days ago.
Yeah, so you've interviewed him a few times, and that's interesting. And by the way, let me just mention, I actually did a whole interview, a whole podcast with Barbara Jansen, and you can find that over at American Free Press or at my website, therealistreport.com. It's posted in both places. And then the interview – or sorry, the article that I wrote for the newspaper is not only being published in the print edition, but it's also on the website of American Free Press and my website, therealistreport.com. So I'd encourage everybody to, you know, to check that out. It's a very, very revealing story. You know, share this with your normie friends. I mean, if this doesn't like wake people up, I mean, I don't know what will. This is just incredible. I mean, here's a woman literally didn't even go into the Capitol. Didn't do anything wrong, didn't commit any crimes, just simply went, you know, to our nation's capital at the behest of our then president, which, you know, of course, we have all sorts of skepticism about these days and have for a long time, frankly. But anyways, right, this is just a very revealing story. So I would encourage people to check that out. But the point you're making about the deception that the Jews have just totally, you know, cast over the whole world. And just totally you know, weaponized history, have everybody confused about who and what the Bible is really all about, who the people, right, who the characters in the Bible really are, what their racial and ethnic background is, these sorts of things, is just really, really an astonishing thing to kind of wrap your mind around. And I still, I mean, I still am trying to wrap my mind around it, frankly. I mean, I got kind of clued into the whole Christian identity message of the Bible years ago, probably 2012. In fact, I remember hearing Eli James being interviewed by Deanna Spingola on RBN years ago, probably 2012 or maybe 2011, when I first heard the idea that the, you know, God's chosen people, who most people assume are the people we know as Jews today, is a fraudulent, incorrect interpretation or understanding of the Bible and who the people in the Bible really are. Yep. And the more that I look into it, the more sense it makes that, in fact, they are not. They are, in fact, the synagogue of Satan. And there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of mistranslations and a lot of misunderstandings in the Bible. And frankly, I mean, although I can't say, you know, I could really speak, you know, confidently, very knowledgeably about, you know, the Christian identity perspective of the Bible, I do think that they are definitely onto something and are probably right about a lot of these things. And, you know, and I've felt that way for a very long time. And I'm curious, I mean, you know, I'm just curious. And really, I guess a bigger point that I'd like to make is, when I heard Pastor James talk about this stuff originally with Deanna Spingola years ago, again, I mean, this is, you know, over 10 years ago at this point, right, to me, it really resonated with me, you know, because I'm a huge proponent of the concept of historical revisionism. And basically all that means is, you know, reassessing history, entertaining all perspectives, entertaining all, you know, pieces of information, and coming to a more accurate or politically neutral understanding of history, right? I mean, because you look at, like, for example, World War II or World War I, the official narrative is very, very politicized. You know, there's a lot of facts and a lot of information and a lot of perspectives that are just simply left out of the mainstream conversation. And I view, you know, revisionism as an attempt to incorporate all these different perspectives, all of the information, all the relevant information that we have, and sort of coming to a, you know, a more nuanced, objective perspective of history. And I basically think that Christian identity is basically revisionism extended to the Bible, applied to the Bible, applied to ancient history, and even like the study of language. I mean, there's a lot, and, you know, there's a lot of aspects to this whole Christian identity perspective, mm-hmm, and understanding of history and the Bible, and even, you know, where we come from, who white, you know, modern day white, increasingly less so Christian European peoples and the countries that our ancestors founded and built and established. You know, I think that there's a lot to this, and I'm curious. I mean, you've interviewed Pastor James a couple times now. What's your perspective? I mean, what do you think? Do you think that he's onto something here?
I absolutely do. In fact, between him and a few months before, what the heck is that gentleman's name? The Vatican. I mean, we were both raised Catholic, and I know, I believe, you're still a practicing Catholic. I'm not. But there was, I'm looking up his name, Vatican.
While you're looking that up, let me just mention, I see here you actually posted in the Skype chat, Christogenia.org. This is another very important website for anybody that's interested in really looking into this subject. And, you know, again, and this is a website maintained by William Fink, who, I know, you know, him and Pastor James kind of have had some conflicts over the years.
Yeah, they've kind of fallen out, right?
Yeah, and I don't even know the details or really care, frankly, but they both have been a huge sort of influence on my thinking when it comes to this Christian identity stuff. And I would encourage anybody that's new to this or wants to learn a little bit more, definitely check out Christogenia.org, and then check out Pastor James's website, which is Eurofolk Radio.
Right.
I've actually had those website on my website. I have a recommended links tab on the right side of the website. If you kind of like scroll down to the bottom, there's a recommended links. And I've had both of those websites linked for, you know, at least 5 or 6 years, probably even longer than that. So I've been very in tune to a lot of their, you know, and I listen to a lot of their podcasts. I lead, read a lot of their material. In fact, I have a copy right here that I purchased from Money Tree Publishing, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist Has Deceived the Whole World. And this is a book by Pastor Eli James. And this book, I originally bought this book, probably back in like 2012, 2013 on my Kindle. Mm-hmm. And I purchased this, you know, hard physical copy, just to have it, you know, just for, you know, for reference to go back. I need to sit down and read it again. I mean, I remember reading it back then and sort of just being like very much actually convinced. I mean, it did leave me with a lot of questions, but I do think that the basic premise and the basic, like the basics of Christian identity are probably right. And from what I mean, my understanding is basically that God's covenant was not at all with the people we know as Jews today. It was actually in fact with the authentic Israelites who basically settled modern, you know, the people we know as Europeans today, the European nations, more or less. And, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot more to it, but basically that's the understanding. And, you know, there's a lot of confusion with it. There's a lot of questions again that I would even have, but I think that is more or less right. And I think if you look at the Bible, all the prophecies, you know, about the ancient Israelites, they are only fulfilled if you look at the history of white Western Christian civilization. And I think that probably the most powerful example of the Christian identity perspective being absolutely 100% spot on.
Well, there's two things that I've come across in the last couple months that I haven't really known what to do with, but this is a perfect time to bring it up. I came across a gentleman, an Italian fellow named Mauro Bilino, Biglino, and he's got a website, Mauro Biglino. He was the head main Hebrew translator for the Vatican. He worked for the Vatican. And then he started to really hone his level of understanding the proper translation. And in, I think I've done 4 shows with Pastor Eli now, and Pastor Eli asked him, is this purposefully disinformation? And he feels like a lot of the mistranslation is mistranslation, just tweaking subtly the word of Jesus the Christ and some of the other ones to serve a perfidious narrative. And so that was one thing. And Mauro Bilino is written a book called Gods of the Bible, where even he's of a mind that Yahweh was not a god, but more so a Nephilim. I haven't ordered his book yet. I've only watched a partial interview, so it's fascinating. And the other thing I came across is this study of the original Celtic path of the white race from the then called the Near East, now the Middle East. And there, I was watching a video that it was kind of boring, so I didn't put it in as a clip recently. But essentially, this fella traces the path based on scholarly work of decades of PhD level scholars, that essentially the white tribe, the real Israelites were the whites of the Near East and the Celtics, right? And they took off like 4,000 years, between 2,000 and 4,000 years before the time of Christ, and did this migration along the coast, all along Portugal, Spain, came across and ended up in England, right? So the original Celtics are the Israelis, the white Israelis.
The Israelites, yeah.
The Israelites, one of the 12 tribes, right, of the white people. And so, here's another bizarre fact, John. History has basically wiped out the Scythian, which was the dominant race, tribe of white people, red-haired white people, about, I forget if it's like 2,000 years before Christ or something like that. They were nomads. Wherever they went, they could kick any other tribe's ass. They were the apex predators of the humans of the day, but they had no interest in mercantilism. They continued to move. They'd look around, they'd take what they wanted, and they'd move on, right? They're basically wiped out of history. But if you can be that good at conquering, you probably are that good at understanding self-reflection and connection to the divine. And so and you tie that idea of the Scythians who have been wiped out of history, basically, but the original statues of the Buddha were a white red-headed – the Buddha was originally a white red-headed guy that somehow has now been changed into an Oriental guy, which it was a white guy was the Buddha. So all these – you know, we really need revisionist history of what really went on in the Middle East, man. You start to put all these pieces together, and it's all been wiped away. And I wonder who has taken it upon themselves to invert reality, steal the legacy of the white Israelites, and the synagogue of Satan, the Talmudic, Sabbatean, Frankist, Habadist Jew. I mean, it's a classic inversion in my mind.
Well, it is, yeah, exactly, and we know that this is what they're experts at doing. I mean, you look at any modern narrative or any even recent historical narrative, it is like literally a total inversion. I mean, when it comes to 9/11, for example, or the official story of World War II, I mean, it's like literally the exact opposite. So these people are experts at like inverting the truth, inverting reality, gaslighting. You know, this is a classic, you know, psychological manipulation, psychological warfare, psychological terrorism. I mean, that's what it is. So, I mean, you know, if they're doing it now, you'd probably, you know, you put two and two together, they've probably been doing it for a very long time. And I think that they absolutely have. And you're right. I mean, I've looked at some of this stuff regarding the ancient, you know, the ancient Celtic tribes and the Scythians. And I mean, from my understanding, I mean, it's almost hard. Like, I almost am hesitant to even like really comment too much about this publicly because I just don't know all the details. I haven't, you know, done nearly as much research as I'd like to. And
me
somebody
too,
like
exactly, yeah,
somebody like Pastor Eli James or Bill Fink has. But I think basically that these people were originally descended from the ancient tribes of Israel, basically. They're branches of the ancient Israelites that had sort of, you know, spread out from the Middle East before Christ. And I mean, I could be wrong about that, but I think that's more or less the basic idea. And that makes a lot of sense, frankly. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot to this. I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's such a huge, you know, convoluted subject. There's so many different aspects and angles to it. But that being said, I mean, I think anybody that's really interested in the truth would at least have to entertain these sorts of ideas. And
absolutely.
I think, I mean, and I said this a long time ago, you know, that's really my main mission and purpose is just trying to figure out what the hell is going on in the world and what has gone on in the world and have a, you know, an accurate understanding of what's going on. And I think if you pursue that sort of mindset, you will ultimately end up here. Like, this is sort of like the last stop in all of this. You know, you come to the realization that, yeah, shit, even they've been lying about the Bible. They've been even lying about the shape of the earth. I mean, I'm totally on board with the whole flat earth thing, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it's absurd. Like, all this, basically everything we've been lied to about. It's not just World War II. It's not just 9/11. It's not just these racial issues. It's literally the nature of the world that we live in, the history of the Bible, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. To me, I'm more comfortable believing that the entire reality is more of a projection from the divine or some type of simulation than I am to think that the earth is flat. But, I mean, there are compelling arguments, and it's just, you know, and there's all these other really compelling discussions like viruses don't exist, blah, blah, blah. I mean, there's some people who are incredibly passionate. And the thing that I urge everyone is just to keep an open mind. Like John said, history should constantly be revised, and so should our understandings. And you know, that's why as adults we should be able to discuss anything, and not just start screaming at each other, right? And so
yes, yeah, man. The boy, could you imagine if we had a society like that where we could actually have an honest discussion about some of these things? And yeah, again, I mean, that's really my whole purpose is just to have adult grown-up conversations about all these very controversial topics. And you don't necessarily have to agree with everything, but I think you should at least consider and entertain some of these ideas.
Right.
And, you know, some of them maybe will resonate more with you or make more sense, you know, and some of them maybe not. But at the end of the day, I think it's worth at least entertaining and considering.
Of course. Yeah. And getting back to the whole idea, Sam, if you could cue up clip number 16, I think we can all agree that sadly that being the majority tribe, the white tribe in all these first world European and North American countries, we should be owning the power that we should righteously wield. And yet instead, John, listen, I think this individual makes an incredible point. So possibly the biggest white flaw of today is self-hatred. Go ahead and play the clip, Sam.
That's what the Tower of Babel moment was. It was a stand against, I mean, they got annihilated. They were trying to unify everything, and we were already in a semi-unified state. And they were using that to try to take ownership genetically by redoing genetic on some particular level, whether it just be, you know, whites dating blacks. That was certainly all of the above, all of the above. Aryan, all these ancient Aryan civilizations blew up in fits of self-hatred. I mean, anytime you're subverting your organic identity for some abstract principle, whether it be environmentalism, which is just the new communism, or communism, well, it's going to end up in disaster, sure. But it always runs its course. Ancient Greece, of course, when they set up shop over Athens or whatnot, it became probably a large race-mixing haven, just like it in America. In ancient Egypt is the same plan in foot in America. I believe that the plan to genocide us is ancient. Anytime you're subverting your organic identity for abstract principles, it doesn't matter whether it's Zoroastrianism or Buddhism, it causes all this havoc. It's the same shit over and over again we're constantly dealing with. But that's still a closed system. Every time our race does that, we end up browning out.
There you go, John. That's
yeah.
Really...
Yeah, that was Tim Murdoch, right?
Course, I'm not course, sure who it was.
Of course, the Avenger. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that was him, yeah. No, look, I mean, again, I think that's a very powerful point that nobody's ever even allowed to entertain or hear. And this goes back to, I mean, I remember reading Mein Kampf, and basically that was his main point, that the downfall – well, not his main point, but it was one of many main points, one of many important insights that I had never entertained or even read before or even contemplated, the fact that the downfall of any major empire, any major civilization is the result of multiculturalism and diversity and, I mean, frankly, race mixing, the races mixing together, diluting the founding stock of the civilization.
Yep.
And, I have a hard time entertaining that idea and looking at history objectively and simply dismissing it, because I think that is that exactly explains the downfall of civilization. And I know that's a very difficult concept for a lot of people to objectively entertain, but I think it's absolutely spot on. And again, you wonder why they don't want anybody to read Mein Kampf or to hear these ideas, because it goes to the heart of everything, that's gone wrong historically at the downfall of any civilization, of any country. It's been, bringing in massive amounts of foreigners and mixing people up and just diluting the original founding stock of the country.
All right, what a great first half hour of discussion. We had 90 minutes to go. Then the king of Sunday night, the great Ravold and Incendiary Radio. But stay tuned after these messages for more of John Friend and Giuseppe on the Sane Asylum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjacking old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think it's tough. Well, try that in a small town, see how far you make it down the road. Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're gonna round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Full of good old boys, raised up.
Welcome back to the Sane Asylum, simulcasting worldwide on republicbroadcasting.org and speakfreeradio.com, and then the video simulcast on Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, and Odyssey. And, it's really vital for RBN's been around a long time, and it used to be, charismatically driven by the great John Stadtmiller, who passed about a year and a half ago, and it's been tough to keep the station going. So if you can in any way financially support RBN by going to the store, there's so many great products. I'm a big fan of the Wild Pastures Clean Protein and so many other products there. Or if you can just make a straight-up donation, please support RBN. And so we're back, John. And you were mentioning during the break about that despicable epitome of a pseudo-intellectual psychopath, Yuval Noah Harari, who's the so-called public intellectual of Israel and the World Economic Forum, which is just a front organization for the Synagogue of Satan Rothschild's One World Government, One Banking System Worldwide initiative. And, I mean, that dude is physically revolts me. I mean, everything about him, he's just this little sniveling a rodent of a human being who thinks he's much smarter than he actually is. He's just an unhinged psychopath. And we have a couple of clips, Sam, that we found.
Now, Harari, he was the one that did that TED talk where he basically was explaining how mRNA technology was an operating system that would like replace your, you know, your natural genetic like DNA, right? I mean, this guy, I mean, talk about evil. This is like out this world evil.
Yep. Yeah, that's their game. This whole push. I mean, the Hebrew Ray Kurzweil's been pushing it while he was the so-called public techno nerd intellectual of Google about this transhuman singularity with the merging with the AI version in this reality of the devil, of Satan, of Baphomet, of Beelzebub, of Lucifer, whatever it would be, but somehow, you know, incarnate in this reality is an AI that takes over everything. And that's the dream of these Jew psychopaths like Kurzweil and Harari. It's just beyond belief.
Yes, absolutely. And we got to play these clips, and I want to hear your reaction. I'm sure you want to hear my reaction. I mean, this is just some of the things these guys say. It's like, you know, it's almost like surreal. It's almost like how are they getting away with this? Like the way that they can gaslight and, you know, and who is – what I'm confused about is like who is seriously believing these people and like allowing themselves to be totally psychologically manipulated when it's so obvious what they're doing. I mean, they basically are I mean, they've already pathologized like any form of like a positive, healthy, white racial identity. But now they want to pathologize any form of independent critical thinking.
Yes.
That's exactly what this guy is trying to do here. You know what you want? You want to play the clips? There's two separate ones. We could probably play either one. I know there's a part one or part two. It probably doesn't even matter which one we play first, but
Go ahead, Sam. Let it roll.
I will also say another thing. The conspiracy theories, they do get one thing right, certainly in today's world. I think they represent an authentic and justified fear of a lot of people that they are losing control of their lives. They don't understand what is happening. And this, I think, is not just a legitimate fear. This is an important fear. They are right. We are losing control of our lives. We are facing really big dangers, but not from a small cabal of fellow humans. The problem with many of these conspiracy theories that, yes, we have a problem with our new AI technology. But if you now direct the fire against certain people, so instead of all humans cooperating against our real common threats, whether it's the rise of AI, whether it's global warming, you're only causing us to fight each other. And I think that the key question that people who spread these ideas, I mean, many of them, they honestly believe, it's not malicious, they honestly believe in these theories, is do you want to spend your life spreading hate towards people? Or do you want to work on more constructive projects? I think one of the big differences between those who believe in conspiracy theories and people who warn about the dangers of AI, the dangers of climate change, we don't see certain humans as evil and hateful. The problem isn't humans. The problem is something outside humanity. Yes, humans are contributing to the problem, but ultimately the enemy is external to humanity. Whereas conspiracy theories usually claim that a certain part of humanity is the source of all evil, which leads them to eventually think in terms of exterminating this part of humanity, which leads sometimes to historical disasters like Nazism.
So it can lead to hate, but can also lead to a like cynicism, apathy that basically says it's not in my power to make the world better. So you don't actually take action.
I think it is within the power of every individual to make the world a little bit better. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do everything. Don't try to do everything. Find one thing in your areas of activity, a place where you have some agency, and try to do that and hope that other people do their bit. And if everybody do their bit, we'll manage. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, we don't. But at least we try.
Well, I got to say, Giuseppe, there's a couple of things I did agree with. Number one was the very last part of what he said, that we should all at least try to do our best, you know, and to make the world a better place in whatever way we can, whatever endeavor we're involved in. And that's always been my philosophy. That's always been the way that I operate, no matter what I'm doing, whether it's work-wise or, you know, dealing with family or whatever I'm doing, whatever activity I'm engaged in, you know, professionally or socially or whatever, I'm always trying to, quote unquote, make the world a better place and just, you know, do as much good as I possibly can. I think that really goes to the very bedrock of what it means to be a Christian, frankly. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, he actually admitted, which was actually kind of surprising. I mean, when I first heard this, I was like, wow. So he's actually admitting basically that not all conspiracy theorists are necessarily malicious. They actually genuinely believe what they think. They believe in these quote-unquote conspiracy theories. Now, what's interesting, as a typical Jew, they tie it into hate. Yes. They tie it into the Holocaust. Yes. And of course, he didn't even say the word Holocaust, but you heard him invoke the concept of exterminating other people. And again, hate. I mean, this all is basically, you know, code words for the fake Holocaust story. So yes, it's like Literally you question what we're saying. You question what the experts and, you know, us Jews who are just looking out for humanity. You question what we're doing. You question our agenda. You question what we tell you, and that will ultimately – basically you questioning us is a form of hatred. You hate us by even questioning us. You ultimately want to exterminate us. I mean, that's their sort of mindset. That's like basically what they're saying here. And it's just – I mean, it really just has to be straight up confronted and rejected. And we have to say, look, we can think for ourselves. We can observe reality. We can do our own research. We can literally – quote you guys and like read your own publications and come to our own conclusions and recognize exactly what sort of subversive, anti-human, anti-Christian, anti-white agendas you're promoting. And there's nothing wrong with that. Again, going back to my point, I mean, they've already pathologized any form of white racial identity. Now you look at what this guy's saying, and I think the next clip will be even maybe more revealing in this regard. They want to pathologize critical thinking. You know, you think for yourself, you question what the media says, you question what the president says, you question what your teacher says. Well, you're basically, you want to exterminate the Jews. That's what this guy would basically say.
That's exactly right, John. And I think you're checking all the boxes as far as the onlighting Jew gaslighting psyop, I love the word perfidious, because everything they say is serving their own agenda of the Jew world order of and they don't, but they don't want you and I and anyone else who has half a brain and can see through their lies and just looks at their actions. Well, of course, the Kudenhoven clergy plan has been full on implemented for the last 50 years, full bore. and you go down and the whole poisoning of young children's bodies, minds, and spirits to foment this tranny LGBTQ WTF. Of course, it's being driven by the synagogue of Satan. It's obvious. A little bit of critical thinking and research, you find it. Everything that is vile about this country, the United States of America, John, is being driven by these vile parasites that literally Jesus the Christ described them as the children of the devil, right? To paraphrase.
Yeah,
and so
absolutely.
This is what
they're up their father the devil, yeah.
Yep, exactly. This is what they've brought to this country in the last 150 years. Communism, Marxism, Zionism, the Holocaust lies, 80 million dead in Bankster World War II, usury banking that's destroyed the lives of millions of working class people and lower middle class people. The Holodomor, they starved between 8 to 11 million decent farmers in Ukraine. The Bolshevik Revolution, we're living Bolshevik 2.0 with this insane Antifa BLM stuff now. Endless wars, African slave trade, feminism, radical toxic Jewish feminism, open borders, the Kudenhurman Kalergi, as I said, mass migration, white replacement, gun control, critical race theory, 9/11, USS Liberty attack by Jews, Israel on an American vessel, race mixing, miscegenation, the despicable 1965 Immigration Act, the mass bubonic Jew jab vax campaigns, COVID-19 lies, transgenderism, pedophilia, it's in their Talmud, that's the real book of the Jew, child trafficking, sodomy, porn industry, BLM, Antifa, Federal Reserve, tech censorship. I could go on, John, but so that's
well
why
said.
Everything is hate. That's why everything is hate, John. Oh, they hate.
Well,
the
exactly.
Truth.
I mean, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, and you can like. I mean, there's no. This isn't something you're just saying. I mean, we could literally prove this. And again, I've been doing this for a very long time, using their own sources, using explicitly Jewish publications to document and back up every little thing. Speaking of, by the way, there was another website that kind of picked up on this called Jewish Contributions.
Yes, it's awesome.
Did you see? Yeah, and I, you know, it's they actually had their site taken down. It looked like the other day. I'm trying to actually go to it right now. JewishContributions.com, I think it is. I can't get it to pull up on my browser. But anyways, basically another website that would literally use explicitly Jewish sources to document.
Yeah, it's down.
It is down. Okay, yeah. I know it was down the other day. I saw a bunch of people talking about it on Telegram, and then apparently it came back online. But now I couldn't access it just a moment ago when I tried. But anyways, my point is that we can back up and prove every last thing that we're saying. This isn't just, irrational hatred or us scapegoating the Jews or us, being losers who live in our mom's basement and just blame the Jews for everything or something like that. You know, we've looked into this stuff. We know what's going on. We can recognize it. We can use our own brains. We can think critically and come to our own conclusions. We can go on Twitter and look at a disgusting criminal like Jonathan Greenblatt. And go on his Twitter page, and he's literally can you imagine the nerve, the chutzpah of these people? This guy, I'm looking at a tweet right here. Thank you, Speaker McCarthy and Rep. Jeffries, who's, I think, the Speaker of the House and then the – what is it? What would it be? The Democrat. They're the lower house, so they're the – or the in the minority.
The minority whip or leader.
The minority whip or whatever. Yeah, exactly. So the two leading figures in the House of Representatives, he's got photos of him smiling with both of them saying, thank you so much for your bipartisan support for the U.S.-Israel relationship. And, of course, he's taking this photo right after Israel's president, Isaac Herzog, came over and spoke and got repeated standing ovations from everybody in the Congress, except for I think it was like seven, not frankly, they were not white, these sort of like quote unquote radical left wing Democrats.
The that squad.
This, yeah, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was everybody in the squad, but I can't even remember exactly what seven it was. It was like seven or eight of them that basically didn't go along with this. And their big beef is that Israel is like this racist state, which of course it is. And racist in the, like a genuine supremacist type definition, the definition that they apply to us, it actually applies to them much more than it would apply to you or I or anybody listening to this program. But I mean, again, here's Jonathan Greenblatt, who basically dictates what can and can't be said online. who basically, you know, has his foot in the White House anytime he wants. They're over there developing quote unquote anti-Semitism strategies at the federal level to shut down any criticism, any noticing of what the Jews are up to. And here he is taking photographs of the two leading members of Congress, at least the House of Representatives, after the president of Israel gives a speech to standing ovations talking about how we're going to move forward in the fight against quote-unquote anti-Semitism and hate, which again is basically anybody noticing what these people are doing. Right. I mean, it's just like the level of gaslighting is just almost unfathomable to me at this point. It's like how do people just not see through this crap?
That's what's so weird. Are the minds of what's left of the white race, Americans, Canadians, Europeans, so weak that they actually believe it? Or are they just so entranced by the Panamet Kirkanses of social media and gaming and pornography and celebrity influencers and all this nonsense and all this fear porn of the scamdemic and of the phony man-made climate change and all this nonsense? That's just – they're just throwing things up against the wall and seeing what sticks, and none of it is actually working. Nobody's falling for any of this realistically, other than a lot of people took the bubonic Jew jab to save their jobs or to be able to go on a vacation, which is ridiculous to me because people every day now are dropping dead from clots and whatever is growing inside them. It's so tragic. But John,
you know, I was just going to say quickly. I mean, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, because you know, I try to talk to people about that. Not I don't bring it up and like be obnoxious about it. Yeah, but just, you know, hear what people have to say. And there really are, I mean, the more and more people I talk to, it's like almost the vast majority of them anyways are very skeptical about what's going on. They recognize that something doesn't, you know, things are not adding up. They're seeing all this tranny crap everywhere. They're seeing all this gay crap everywhere. Yeah. They just are they've just never really been exposed to perspectives that we put out. I think that's what it boils down to.
Yes.
Is are people generally have good instincts. I mean, maybe not everybody. There's, you know, of course, a lot of, you know, people that have been totally deceived by the synagogue of Satan and, you know, are cutting their private parts off and transitioning and tattooing their bodies and piercing themselves and just all this other degeneracy. But there's still a lot of people out there, especially people that I run into like almost daily. It's like, man, there's a lot of good people left in America.
And there are, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a lot of good people left everywhere. And it's just a simple matter of not being exposed to this information, not being even never even encountering a perspective like this. They've never been explained what's really going on. You know, nobody's ever sat down and talked to them about these things from our perspective. And it just shows you just again how powerful the control of information and how the whole cancel culture, political correctness agenda has been so powerful and so effective. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, I think I said this last time I was on the show, you know, like, again, one of the main purposes of everything that I've ever done publicly is just to break this taboo, to be able to talk about the Jewish problem, talk about these other controversial issues publicly, openly, honestly, like adults. You know, we got to break down these taboos. We got to be able to talk about this stuff, you know, rationally. And, you know, we still got a long way to go, but we've made a lot of progress. And I think there's a huge audience out there that's just waiting to entertain these ideas, waiting to discover this information. And that's the biggest challenge, is getting our ideas to more people. And it's, as you know, not an easy thing to do. It almost takes somebody willing to take that step. You know, because they're not just going to come across it. They're not going to just, you know, walk down the street and see a billboard and, oh, hey, I'm going to tune in to Speak Free Radio or RBN. You know, they got to actively seek this sort of information, right, or have an open mind when somebody does present it to them. But, anyways, I'm sorry. I just wanted to mention that there still are a lot of very – there's a lot of people with good instincts. They just have never been really exposed or entertained our ideas.
That is, I tend to agree with that, John. And it's interesting that last month you probably saw the clips. I played them on my shows of the traitorous cuck FBI head guy Christopher Wray was on a video Zoom chat with the despicable subhuman Greenblatt, and he was, thank you, Director Ray, for I speak with Director Ray every day, and they support the ADL and all this nonsense, right? So, I mean, the level of that synagogue of Satan cancer and how it's eaten into this country, it's exactly like 100 years ago how they did it, Bolshevik 1.0. This is Bolshevik 2.0. But what's interesting and kind of bring a little humor to the idea, I don't know if you saw, John, that traitorous installed president in Brazil, Luna, much the way Trump won, but we got the installed clown Biden, the pedo Biden. Luna is trying to ban guns in Brazil, but I'm tying it into the whole tranny initiative that the Synagogue of Satan is pushing worldwide, especially when they get their installed Bolshevik 2.0 leaders like Biden or Luna in. But this is kind of funny. Sam, if you could play clip number 10, where a Brazilian tranny tries to go into a woman's room and expose himself to women and little girls, and justice is served by Brazilian mama bears. So listen to this one.
So a transgender male decided to go into a women's bathroom exposing his private parts while women and children were around. But this guy must have forgot that this is in Los Angeles. This is Brazil, motherfucker, and they don't play that shit here. It's pretty sad these women have to do the job of a man by taking the trash out. But you can see this asshole deserves every bitch slap that he gets. Let's call him what he is. He's a pedophile. And if this was in Los Angeles, you bet your ass Antifa would be out there protecting this pedophile and protesting these women. Congratulations to these women for taking out the trash.
So in the video, John, these Brazilian women are dragging this tranny out by his long hair, and they're kicking him and punching him. It's really a good video.
That's awesome. We need more of that here. I mean, I know that's sort of vigilante type violence, but I mean, give me a break. Are we going to let this happen? You know, and you see, like, I remember. It was like a Asian spa out in Los Angeles, and just, you know, these trainees going in there. I think it was one guy in particular, and just sitting in a women's sauna with his, like, basically naked, like, still, like,
yeah,
physically a man, and it's like, oh, I'm claiming to be a woman. And just, you know, the outrage, and like a lot of times, unfortunately, the law enforcement will side, and not only the law enforcement, but the business owners, and the business owners do that because they think they have to with these outrageous laws and the cultural Bolsheviks that basically control our country. It's just madness, man. It is absolute freaking madness. It's unacceptable. And, you know, that's probably what it's going to come down to, is for mama bears to get out there and, you know, start kicking some ass, frankly.
Well, that's what's going on with this movie, The Sound of Freedom, and they're trapping all these pedos who think they're going to catch a little hookup with 10, 12-year-old girls and boys. And so stay tuned for hour number two after these important messages of the Sane Asylum on Republic Broadcasting and Speak Free Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.